We have lots on the table today. The Syrian crisis, the anniversary of the civil rights movement, numbers. All of these things are filled with numbers, and numbers can be symbolic. Our scripture for today is printed in the insert in your bulletin, as well as a place to take notes for the sermon if you brought a pen or pencil. So I'd invite you to listen to these words from Psalm 90, which are 3,000 years old, and yet the truth rings true today as much as it did then. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath. All our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then our span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your children. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of our Lord be upon us, and prosper us for the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. Well, on Labor Day weekend, I thought we would talk about numbers. Numbers are an inescapable part of our lives and our work. Have you noticed that we measure effectiveness by numbers? Companies are judged by their numbers. What are the production numbers? How much is your stock worth? How much did you make this quarter? People are judged by numbers. How many cars, children, things do you have? What is your age, your level of education, your salary? So numbers are an important part of our lives, and numbers in the Bible have interested and even fascinated people through the ages. Psalm 90 reminds us that we need to number our days and live wisely and well. So since we're talking about numbers today, I don't know if you noticed in the psalm that I read the number of quantitative parts to that psalm, specific and some general, forever, long ago, all the time in the world, 70 years, 80 years with luck, daybreak. So St. Augustine showed more than just a curiosity about biblical numbers. He studied the symbolic meaning of biblical numbers. And I've provided a place, like I said, in your bulletin for notes about what these numbers mean when you see them in the Bible. At least 15 numbers stand out in the Bible. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Woo! 12, 30, 40, 50, and 70. They're highly symbolic and usually are not used in ancient texts as literal values. The ancient people, as Karen was saying, didn't measure time and space the way we do. They didn't have calendars like ours, and they didn't always keep track of days and years. So numbers in the Bible are representative. But what they mean is really quite interesting. The number two, let's start out, means support. The Ten Commandments came on two different tablets. The animals went into the ark, as the song says, two by two. Jesus sent out his disciples in pairs. And an often remembered phrase in the Bible is, where two or more are gathered, I am in the midst of them. We even have an adage about this in our contemporary world. There's safety in numbers. So two is support. The number three is mentioned numerous times in the Bible. The number three is known as the divine number. It's the number of unity, of accomplishment. It's a number of the universe. I was painting this week at Paint the Town, which is really a fabulous place. It's by Town East. And my mother, my two nieces, my sister-in-law, and I were all painting different canvases, same painting. My mother, who's an artist, used all kinds of bizarre colors and came up with something strikingly beautiful. But the rest of us painted poppies, kind of red circles with black in the middle. But my mom said in the middle of our art lesson, and she was not the teacher, make sure you get three of something on the piece. That's what's important here. Artists use things in threes. Anyway, Jesus' ministry lasted 3 years. He rose from the dead on the third day, although Friday was the day he died and Sunday was the day he was raised. I don't know how they counted it, but 3 days. The idea of God is in parts, the Trinity. So why are there so many threes in the Bible? Well, over the centuries, Aristotle, St. Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, Dante, Soren Kierkegaard, Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud, and others have all emphasized this triadic number. One of the most fascinating things about threes is that it's actually in our DNA. There is a triadic structure in our DNA. And it makes me think of Genesis 1:26, when God is recorded to have said, "Let us make humans in our image, after our likeness." So are we made of the same manifestation God exhibits in Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer? These are ponderous questions that may never be answered. But remember, when you see three in the Bible, it means divinity. The number four is more of an earth-related number. Four directions, four seasons, four corners of the earth, and Jerusalem was the four-square city. So four represents the totality of earth, or worldwide inclusivity. Four, compared like to three, is like comparing the divine to the earth. The number five is the number of grace, one of my favorite things. There were five wise virgins, five barley loaves used by Jesus to feed 5,000. So five is a number for grace. And when the number five is used in a biblical story, you can guess that the subject of the story is going to be grace. Seven is considered God's number, on the number of divine perfection, because after creation, God rested on the seventh day, and Jesus told Peter to forgive 70 times seven. The seven churches of the New Testament are representatives for the church in its whole entirety. So seven is divine perfection. You may notice that I skipped the number six. That's because one short of divine perfection is the number pertaining to humanity. The world was created in 6 days. Israel marched around Jericho 6 times. Anything mentioned in the Bible about the number 6 typically implies that humanity fell short of divine perfection. And the terrible number 666 you've heard about? Well, it's one short of divine perfection 3 times. So it's the number of humans, the number 6, trying over and over and over to be divine, the number 3, or humans falling short of divinity, humans trying to play God. So 666 is not an actual count for anything. It's a highly symbolic code for humanity falling short of divinity. Some say that 666 is the sign of the beast. Well, if so, symbolic number theory would argue that the number 666 is actually the sign of the beast in us. So let's review. 2 is support, 3 divinity, 4 earth, 5 grace, 6 humanity, 7 divine perfection. Now 8 is the new beginning number. 8 were saved from the flood. Circumcision was performed on the 8th day. If you think about this, we have adopted the very same cycle of sevens. Each week is 7 days. The beginning of a new week is day 8, but we call it day 1 again because it's time for a new beginning. So if you're ready to begin again in life, a new habit, a new diet, a new book, a new project, do it on the 8th of the month, or the 8th day, or Monday. 8 is new beginnings. 9 is the fullness of blessing number. The fruit of the Spirit is 9. What would it be like to lie in bed each night and count the day's blessings till you got to at least 9? 9 is the blessing number. 10 is the human government number. The northern kingdom of Israel had 10 tribes. The revived Roman Empire is said to consist of 10 nations. Remember that right before or right after a divine number is often a human number. Well, if 9 is God's blessing, then 10, which is a human number, is how we structure ourselves. 10 is human government. 12 is the divine government number. There are 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Can you think of any biblical numbers of 12? There were 12 sons of Jacob, 12 baskets of bread, 12 gates of Jerusalem. So it's the divine way to organize, whereas 10 is the human way to organize. Oh, and by the way, have you ever heard of the 144 souls who are going to be in heaven? You all are in. Okay. Now, I realize that some people think that is an exact count. There's actually one sect that said that their members were the only ones going to heaven, but over the centuries, once their members got to be 144,000, they had to change the number. This is obviously a symbolic number count. To the ancient people, 1,000 was the number used to represent anything extensively large. We do this too. He must weigh 1,000 pounds. She is 1,000 years old. So, because the divine government was 12, then you take 12 times 12 times that big number, 1,000, and you get the number of people that are going to be in God's incredible presence. So 12 is divine government. 30 is associated with sorrow and mourning. Israel mourned for Moses for 30 days, and 40 is the number for trial and testing. It rained for 40 days during the flood. Moses spent 40 years in the desert. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Lent has 40 days. That's the time of trial and testing. And 50 is connected to celebration. Pentecost occurs 50 days after Easter. 70 is the number associated with human committees and judgment. So Moses appoints 70 elders. The Sanhedrin was made up of 70 people. One of the most familiar texts, even to non-Christians, was when Jesus told Peter to forgive 70 times 7. Remember, 7 is divine perfection. 70 equals human judgment. So forgiveness, 7 times 70, represents a person's judgment yielding itself to divine perfection. Does that make sense? You don't forgive someone 70 times 7. You forgive them until you yield yourself to God's way of thinking. Well, I could go on, but I think you get the point. Numbers are important in the Bible, so much so that almost anywhere you look in the Bible, there's a number. Goodness. There's even a book called Numbers, which is about a census of the Hebrew people. If you ever can't fall asleep at night, read the book of Numbers. It will help. You won't get far. I'll admit I'm kind of a nerd, and I think that this symbology of numbers is fascinating in and of itself. But what does it mean all these years later? And how can we apply it to our contemporary lives? Well, let's count backwards. 70 stands for human committees and judgment. We can thank God that UCC doesn't have anywhere near that many committees or deacons. The number 50 represents celebration. We've been doing pretty well with that number when we have a picnic or a fellowship dinner or an ice cream social. We do a good job of celebrating together. 40 is the number for trial and testing. You did that a few years ago, and I'll bet it felt like more than 40 days to you. The significance of trial and testing, though, is not about how long it lasts, but what it's able to create. The Israelites spent 40 years in the desert, but that's not the point of the story. They reached the promised land. Noah and the animals were on the boat for 40 days, but that's not the point, because when they opened the hatch, the new world had begun. The number 7 is divine perfection. I've been thinking about this, and I want you to note that if you add our musicians, Bob and Helen, our office staff, Luann and Cindy, our program staff, Paul and me, and our sexton, Emily, well, enough said. Divine perfection. Number two equals support. You know, so often when we're hurting in life, we isolate ourselves. We stop going to events. We don't phone our friends. We pull back. But that's not what our faith teaches us. We're made for the plural. Community is important. And so when you're feeling isolated, remember the number 2. Reach out and add someone to your life so that you have support when you need it most. And finally, number 1 is the number necessary to make all those other numbers worth it. One life touched or changed by our church. If the hygiene pantry served only one person, it would be worth it. Instead, they have sometimes more than 300 families. Each one is a blessing. When we have attendance at our worship service of 150, if one life is changed or moved or touched, it's worth everything that was said or sang or prayed. Psalm 90 is one of my favorites. It reminds us that we need to number our days and live wisely and well. It's a fitting text for us as we consider the numbers in our own lives and in the lives of our church. It's been said that stewardship is organizing your life so that God can give you away. So let us organize our lives so that we might be given away each day, so that we might add ourselves to someone else's pain to show support, so that we might reach divine perfection in forgiving and loving others. Amen. You're invited to stand as you're able and sing together our closing hymn. And so tomorrow, as you hopefully have the day off, it is a new beginning. And on Tuesday, it is yet another new beginning. Take the opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. Amen.